please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. And we're in 1 Samuel chapter 23 this morning. And verses 1 through 29. We'll be looking at the whole chapter. Our message series is on David and Saul. And we're in that part of the story, once again, where David is on the run and Saul is hot on his trail. And this is tough for David. He's been on the run for some time now. He's tired. He's weary. He's worn out. And he desperately needs some encouragement. I love this passage. It's such a beautiful passage because it's a passage that teaches us what we need to do when we also are feeling beat up by life or worn out. When you're absolutely drained, when your reserves are running low, when you're out of strength, you need to find strength in God. And that's what this passage is all about, finding strength in God. So in 1 Samuel 23, we're going to be looking at the whole chapter in the course of the message. But to get started for right now, I'm just going to read verses 15 through 18. So please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, 1 Samuel 23, verses 15 to 18. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. And then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this is your word, and Lord, we need this word this morning. We need these words of encouragement. To find the strength that we need, to find all that we need in you. And Lord, we know that all of those riches are available to us through Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So this morning we're talking about finding strength in God. Finding strength in God. When you are stressed or facing difficult times, you need to find strength in God. Now, in our passage today, we're going to meet David at three different locations. There's a lot of geography in this morning's passage. I'm going to help you through that, but we're going to meet David at three different locations. David at Keilah, David at Ziph, and David at Maon. And you say, well, I've never heard of any of those places. Oh, join the club. They're all right here in chapter 23. And David faces a different obstacle at each location. And through David's experiences at each location, we learn something new about finding strength in God. So that's what we'll be talking about this morning. So first of all, we find strength in God, first of all, by seeking God's will through the Word of God and prayer. We find strength in God, first of all, by seeking God's will through the Word of God and prayer. We learn this at Keilah, with David at Keilah. And here we see David inquires of the Lord. David goes before God, word of God in prayer, and he inquires of the Lord. And as we see David doing this, we find two particular lessons for ourselves about going to God in prayer and seeking his will. And those two particular lessons are we should be bold in trusting God's promises. We should be wise in avoiding unnecessary danger. And we'll see how those two tie together. Let's take a look at this. First of all, be bold in trusting God's promises. So in 1 Samuel 23, and verses 1 through 6 now as we get started. When David was told, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors," David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord answered him, "Go, attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Here in Judah we are afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces?" Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "Go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, and carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. So our first place is Keilah. The city of Keilah is located about 3 miles south of Adullam. You might recognize that, the cave of Adullam. We looked at David's view from the cave a few weeks back. So about 3 miles south of Adullam. It was a walled city on the outskirts of Judah, very close to the Philistine border. In fact, it's just 12 miles away from Gath. That's one of the Philistine capital cities. A tempting target for the Philistines on the outskirts of Judah, close to their border. And so the Philistines attack. And when David hears that the Philistines have attacked Keilah, what does he do? He asks God. David wants to help, but before he does anything, he asks God whether he should go and help the people of Keilah. And God gives him the go-ahead, but his men are afraid at first. They go, I don't know if we want to do that. So David asks the Lord again, and God confirms his word to David. He tells David, I am going to give the Philistines into your hand. So now David has what? David has a word from God, right? David has a promise from God, a promise that he can stand upon. And so in response to God's word, in response to God's promise, David and his men very boldly go up against the Philistines. And of course, God is true to his word. He grants them success. They rout the Philistines. They save the people of Keilah. And now, even though David is not yet king, you notice he's already acting like king, isn't he? Who's the one who should be saving Keilah from the Philistines? Saul! Saul's the king. Once again, we see David doing the things Saul's supposed to be doing. David is already fulfilling the role that God has for him in advance. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1 says this, the wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I always love that verse. That's what we should be as Christians, right? We should be bold as a lion. David acted boldly. Why? Because he trusted God's promise to him. As Christians, we are also called to be bold. God has given us so many precious promises in his word, and every one is true. And so as Christians, we have every reason to be bold, and we have no reason to be afraid. Psalm 118, verse 6 says this, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And so as Christians, we can be bold and trust in God's promises. And although boldness in response to God's promises, although that is the right and appropriate response for us as Christians, the Bible tells us we also need to be wise in avoiding unnecessary danger. There's a difference between boldness and foolishness. We need to be wise. Back to 1 Samuel 23 now. Let's pick it up in verses 7 to 13. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. And he said, God has handed him over to me. For David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars. And Saul called up all his forces for battle to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And when David learned that Saul was plotting against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod. And David said, O Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will. Again, David asked, will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul? And the Lord said, they will. So David and his men, about 600 in number, they left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. And when Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. Well, there's a lot of things going on in these verses. Let's unpack this a little bit now. Saul finds out that David is in Keilah. And do you notice how he immediately misinterprets God's will here? What's his first thought? God has handed David over to me. It's like, come on, Saul. David's on the run from Saul, but Saul's been on the run from God. And Saul has not been following God. Why would he think that God has delivered David over to him? Now, it was hard enough tracking David down when he was on the run. But now, in Saul's words, David is imprisoned in a city with walls, with gates and bars. And Saul sees an opportunity here. And he goes all out. He doesn't just grab a regiment here and a regiment there. No, he calls up all of his forces, his entire army. They're all going to go up against David and his 600 men at Keilah. And when David learns of Saul's plot, what does he do? He's not foolish. He doesn't say, well, God made us defeat the Philistines. We'll just go out and defeat Saul. No, what does he do? He inquires of God again. He asks Abiathar the priest, he tells him, he says, bring the ephod. Bring the ephod. Now, you're probably wondering, what is an ephod, right? Well, an ephod is a garment. Think of like an overcoat, but a very special garment, very richly embroidered. It was a garment worn by the high priest. And embedded in the ephod were what are two very mysterious objects, which were called the, ready for this, the Urim and the Thummim. So we've got an ephod, we've got a Urim and a Thummim. And you go, what's a Urim and a Thummim? Well, we're not really sure. It's maybe two jewels or two stones, but we know that the priest would take the Urim and the Thummim out and could ask God questions, and by means of the Urim and the Thummim, God would answer them. And so, you know, some people think it was you would ask a yes or no question, and in some way, like maybe casting type of lots, and we go, well, we don't do that today. You're right, we don't. But this was a way that God allowed the priest only, not everybody could do this, but the priest only could communicate with God this way. And we're told that Abiathar, he brought the ephod with him when he joined David. And so David has a very valuable, God-given means for inquiring of the Lord at his disposal. Once again, notice the contrast between David and Saul. What does Saul have to rely on? Rumors and hearsay. That's all he's got. Saul killed all the priests. He cut himself off from God in that way. David has a direct line to the Lord. And David asks God two questions. Is Saul coming down to Keilah? Urim and Thummim, God says, yes. And so David says, and will the people of Keilah deliver me to Saul? Urim and Thummim, God says, yes. You might wonder, it's like, well, people of Keilah, why would you do that? David just saved you from the Philistines. Isn't that very ungrateful to turn him over to Saul? But they probably heard what Saul did to the city of Nob. We saw that last week where they wiped out the whole city of Nob, men, women, and children. They're afraid. Saul's going to do the same thing to them. David inquires of the Lord, and the Lord confirms to David, you're in danger. And what does David do? Very wisely, David withdraws. Jesus told his disciples, Gospel of Matthew 10:16, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying, it's dangerous out there, folks. It's dangerous out there, and so you need to be wise. You need to be wise as serpents, as innocent as doves. We need to be bold and trusting God's promises, but we also need to be wise in avoiding unnecessary danger. The key point behind all of this, though, is what? David inquired of the Lord. David doesn't do anything without checking with God first. And we ought to do the exact same thing. Now, David inquired of the Lord through prophets and priests. We don't have an ephod today. We don't have a Urim and a Thummim. How does God speak to us today? God speaks to us today primarily through the Word of God. In prayer, we read God's word and we learn principles. We ask God and we ask him, and God speaks to us in different ways and through people and through his word. But the key is ask God. Ask God. Be bold in trusting God's promises. Be wise in avoiding unnecessary danger. But find strength in God by seeking his will through the word of God in prayer. So that's our first lesson this morning. How do we find strength in God? Seeking his will through the word of God. In prayer. Secondly, we find strength in God by having faith in God and fellowship with other believers. Faith and fellowship. We see this in our next section now. We move on in our geography now. David was at Keilah, now David is at Ziph. Ziph. And you need to have faith in God. That's our first. Faith in God, fellowship with other believers. You need to have faith in God if you're going to have the strength to persevere through the hard times. Look at verse 14 with me now. 1 Samuel 23:14. David stayed in the desert strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him. But God did not give David into his hands. So after David withdraws from Keilah, David and his men keep moving around. They eventually end up in the desert of Ziph. You wonder, well, where's Ziph? Ziph was about 16 miles south of Bethlehem, so they're covering a lot of ground here. It was a desert, really a wilderness area. It was full of all sorts of caves and hiding places. You might think back to a number of years ago with the war with Afghanistan. We were hunting for the Taliban. They're hiding out in the caves in Afghanistan. And it's like, how do you ever find so many caves? That's where David's at. He's in this network of caves. So David's hiding in the desert of Ziph, and Saul engages him in really a deadly game of hide and seek, a little cat and mouse game. And day after day, Saul's searching for him. But here's the key. Saul searches for him, but he doesn't find him. Why? Because God, that's what the text says, God did not give David into Saul's hands. David was safe. Why? Because God kept him safe. David was in God's hands, and so it was God who kept him from Saul's hands. David could persevere day after day because God was with him day after day. See, you need to have faith in God if you're going to persevere through the hard times. We read from the book of James earlier in the service, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, there's that word, faith, develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What was God doing with David in the wilderness? He was testing David's faith. David needed to have faith in God to persevere. And faith develops perseverance. Perseverance comes strength. God is preparing David for his future role as king. It's the same with us. You want to need strength in God? You need to have faith in God. But you not only need faith in God, you need fellowship with other believers. Look now back to 1 Samuel 23, verses 15 to 18. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. The two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. So Saul's getting closer and closer all the time. This was such a very stressful time for David, really a low point in his life. And it's at this key moment, this key time in David's life, that his good friend Jonathan reaches out to him. And we've already seen this very strong friendship between David and Jonathan. And now we see another example of it. Jonathan, at great risk to himself, makes this visit to David in the desert. And Jonathan comes not only to encourage David on a human level, but he comes to help David find strength in God. I like the way one person puts it. He puts David's hand, as it were, into God's hand. Puts David's hand into God's hand. You see, none of us are meant to go it alone. None of us are meant to live out this Christian life in isolation. Sometimes we need a little help from our friends, right? Well, David needed help here, and Jonathan helps David. He goes to him. And how does he help him specifically? He helps him by reminding him of God's promise that David will be king. And this is really one of the best ways that we can help each other find strength in God. Yes, we're there for each other, we're present, but we remind each other of God's promises. We remind each other of God's promises. You know, we tell each other, you know, God promised he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's promised that he hears all your prayers in Jesus' name. We bring God's promises. We remind each other, especially when a believer is struggling or distressed. Remind them of God's promises. Take their hand, put their hand in God's hand, and help them find strength in God. Notice Jonathan's humility here. Jonathan's supposed to be next in line for king. He doesn't care. He knows David's going to be king instead of himself. He says, I'll be second to you, David. Jonathan says, even my father Saul knows this. And Saul himself, we'll see this next week, Saul himself admits this in chapter 24. Saul even knows that David's going to be king next, but Saul continues his mad pursuit. David and Jonathan renew their covenant together before the Lord, and then Jonathan goes his way. And this is the last recorded meeting between David and Jonathan. We never find them together in Scripture again. But when David was at a low point, perhaps the lowest point of his life yet, Jonathan risked his own life to help his friend, to help his friend find strength in God. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says this: "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God," that turns away from God who can give you strength, right? So how do we do that? How do we make sure that we don't turn away from God? Verse 13, encourage one another daily. Encourage each other as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We need God, and we need each other. We find strength in God by having faith in God and fellowship with other believers. So now we've looked at David at Keilah, we've looked at David at Ziph, and now we come to David at Maon. Now, Keilah, what did we learn? We learned that we find strength in God by doing what? Seeking God's will through the Word of God and prayer. We learned that at Keilah. At Ziph, what did we learn? We find strength in God by having faith in God and fellowship with other believers. So, Word of God and prayer, faith and fellowship. And now we come to Maon, and here we learn a third way that we find strength in God. We find strength in God by trusting God's providential care. And there are two lessons in particular here. Be alert. The enemy seeks to destroy you. And be at peace because God is in control. Let's take a look at both of those. First of all, be alert. The enemy seeks to destroy you. Back to 1 Samuel 23, verses 19 to 23. The Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Hakilah, south of Jeshimon? Now, O king, come down whenever it pleases you to do so, and we will be responsible for handing him over to the king." And Saul replied, "The Lord bless you for your concern for me. Go and make further preparation. Find out where David usually goes and who's seen him there. They tell me he is very crafty. And find out about all the hiding places he uses, and come back to me with definite information. Then I will go with you. If he is in the area, I will track him down among all the clans of Judah." So after Jonathan leaves David, the Ziphites come out now, right? David was just at Ziph. The Ziphites come out to Saul. They offer to find David for him and to hand David over to the king. And Saul is so touched by their offer, isn't he? He says, "Lord bless you for your concern for me." As usual for Saul, it's all about Saul. It's always about him. He tells him, he says, "Go, make preparations." He warns them. He says, "Watch out for that David. He's a crafty one." He says, "Get all your information. Find out all his hiding places. And once you've got your research all done, come back to me, and I'm going to hunt him down. I'm going to track him down." Saul is relentless in his pursuit of David. And now David has new enemies in the form of the Ziphites. He doesn't even know the Ziphites, and they're out there, you know, betraying him to Saul. The Bible warns us as believers that you too have an enemy, and therefore you need to be alert. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are going through the same kinds of sufferings. Whatever you're struggling, whatever you're facing, realize you're not alone. Others are going through difficult times too." We have a common enemy. Be alert. The enemy seeks to destroy you, but also be at peace, for God is in control. Back to our chapter, verses 24 to 29. So they set out and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the desert of Maon in the Arabah, south of Jeshimon. Saul and his men began the search, and when David was told about it, he went down to the rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. When Saul heard this, he went into the desert of Maon in pursuit of David. Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away from Saul. And as Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Come quickly, the Philistines are raiding the land." And then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. And that is why this place, that is why they call this place Sela Hamalekoth. There we go. I did better than the first service. I don't know if I got it or not. Hamalekoth. And David went from there and lived in the strongholds of En Gedi. So David's in the desert of Maon. This is about 5 miles south of Ziph. So he's moving even further south now. Saul and his men enter the desert, and they are in hot pursuit. And this is another one of those great action scenes in the Bible. I can still remember reading this exact scene with my boys when they were younger. As we were reading through 1 Samuel and all the things of David. And, you know, every night they couldn't wait to get back. And we're reading this one, you know. And, you know, and so, I mean, you know, this is awesome. You know, Saul and his men, they're going around one side of the mountain. On the other side, you get David and his men. And David, they don't know Saul's there. They're on a collision course. And, you know, we get to kind of see it from above what's going on. It's like, oh, no, what's going to happen to David? And just when they get into the peak, right, they're about to meet. The messenger comes along and says, Philistines attacking. Let's go. And Saul breaks off pursuit. And as a result, this place got a new name, Selah Hamalekoth, which means rock of parting, because that's where they parted ways. They were about to collide, and they parted. And after such a close call, David, he escaped safely to En Gedi, a place with more caves and shelter with water, a lot of springs and fountains there, so he's water and shelter. But folks, this is such a wonderful example of God's providence, isn't it? Do you think it was a coincidence that the messenger arrived right then? No way. That's God. This was God's hand of providence. God's hand of providence delivered David from the hand of the Philistines at Keilah. God's hand of providence delivered David from the hand of Saul at Maon. And when you're in God's hands, you're in good hands. You can trust God's providential care for you. David later wrote about this whole incident in Psalm 54. We keep seeing this, don't we? That the Psalms, you know, David experiences things that we read about in 1 Samuel, and then he writes Psalms about them, and then we find those Psalms. And Psalm 54 says it's about when the Ziphites went to Saul to hand him over. And I won't read the whole Psalm, but let me just read a couple verses, verses 2 to 4. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Strangers are attacking me. Ruthless men seek my life. Men without regard for God. Selah. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Now the strangers in this psalm, those are the Ziphites, right? The Ziphites who betrayed David to Saul. And David cries out to God for help, and then he pauses. That's what that word Selah means that we read there. Remember, notice how he paused when we read that? When you see that word Selah, it means you're supposed to pause and reflect. So David pauses and reflects. And then he says in verse 4, surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. It's almost as he paused and reflected on how God delivered him that day through that messenger. David knew he had enemies hot on his trail. Be alert. The enemy seeks to destroy you. But he also knew that the Lord is the one who sustains him. Be at peace. God is in control. The Lord is the one who sustains you. That means the Lord is the one who gives you strength. So that's the third way we find strength in God. Trust in God's providential care. When you are stressed, when you are facing difficult times, you need to find strength in God. God is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. He has no end of reserves of strength. And so when you find strength in God, you will find plenty of strength to face the challenges and tasks of each day. When you try to find strength outside of God, you're only setting yourself up for failure. You know, before Jesus went to the cross, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And like David in our passage today, he was in great distress. So what did Jesus do? He found strength in God. And how did he do it? Three things. He sought God's will in prayer. He brought friends along to help him. And he trusted in God's providential care. Now, his friends fell asleep. They weren't much help. But at least he brought them along, right? He didn't try to go it alone. Even Jesus brought people along for help and support. He sought God's will in prayer. He brought friends along to help him. He trusted in God's providential care. Jesus prayed this. He said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. I'm going to trust you, God." He submitted himself to God's will. And then the Bible tells us what happened. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And so Jesus, when he was at the lowest point in his life, what did he do? He found strength in God. Jesus found strength in God so that he would have the strength to go to the cross to die for our sins so that we also could find strength in God. Let me say that again. Jesus found strength in God so that he would have the strength to go to the cross to die for our sins so that we also could find strength in God. And when you go to God through Jesus, God is always there for you. His word is full of promises for you. And so the word I believe God has for all of us this morning through 1 Samuel 23 is simply this. Seek God's will through the word of God and prayer. Have faith in God and fellowship with other believers. And thirdly, trust God's providential care. And when life hits you hard, find strength in God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Well, dear God, we thank you for this amazing chapter of Scripture. Lord, it's a passage about David, and it's important for us to know what you did for David and how you preserved his life and made him king and prepared the birth line for Christ. But Lord, it's also a passage about us this morning. Lord, we all go through hard times. We all go through times and we don't have the strength to face what we're facing. And Lord, that's when we need you. We need you all the time, but Lord, that's when we know we need you. Lord, I pray every day that we would find our strength in you for the day. That we'd go to you through the word of God and through prayer. That we would exercise faith in you. And Lord, that we would look to our brothers and sisters in Christ for help and encouragement. And that in all things we would trust you, God, that you are there, you are in control, and we can be at peace. The enemy seeks to destroy us, but you are in control, and we give you praise. Thank you, God, for your word this morning. Thank you for these lessons learned. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.